Well, staying in New Zealand, Professor Paul Spoonley from Massey University in Wellington is a specialist in ultranationalist politics, and he says politicians need to be a lot more careful that their language doesn't enable and normalise extremist views and violence. He was due to give an address on hate speech at New Zealand's National Library today, but the library cancelled at the last minute on security grounds. Professor Spoonley joined me earlier, and I began by asking him how big a presence white supremacist groups have in his country.
Compared to the UK, where I did my original research, it's actually quite modest. But I would estimate probably 200 to 250 core activists in New Zealand. I'm not so sure about Australia. It's a while since I've done on-the-ground research in Australia. But in both countries, there's no doubt the ultranationalists and the white supremacists are more active. It's hard to tell whether they're growing. What's annoying for Australia and New Zealand is that unlike a country like Germany, which has a designated government agency which publishes very clear data on a year-to-year basis, we struggle to get good data and to know exactly what's happening in Australia and New Zealand.
The FBI releases an annual report on hate crimes, and its latest survey found a 17% increase in hate crimes across the United States. Do those numbers surprise you?
No, and I've been looking at some of the international data, and there was a big spike in 2017 in anti-Semitic incidents, and it's kept growing. And the same's true for Europe.
What do you think is driving the increase?
It's a complex question, because I think there are a number of things. One of them is populist politics. If you look at governments and politicians around the Western world, in the last 10 years, they've gone from a support base of around 7% to 35% last year. And of course, that's combined with a degree of economic anxiety, which is then overlaid by anxiety around the idea that the Muslim world is going to swamp us, the white Western world. And then, of course, you've got the internet. So the internet has made a lot of this more viable and international and really done the extreme right a big favour in many ways. It's not helped by the platforms themselves, Facebook, Google, YouTube, who really have not exercised as much moral authority as they should in this area.
What responsibility do you think social media platforms should take for the rise of white supremacist violence? I mean, there are calls from political leaders to suspend live streaming, for example.
Well, I can't see why Facebook continued to stream for 17 minutes the shooting in Christchurch. For example, the Germans have very clear expectations and penalties and scrutiny of online platforms. And those platforms do not get away with the sort of thing that we've seen in New Zealand in the last week. I think we need to talk about how we monitor and manage these platforms.
And you talked about populist politics. There is a political debate in Australia right now about the extent to which mainstream politicians, including at the very highest levels of our governments, have used language that has helped to fuel racist views. How important are the comments of our political leaders in ensuring that extremism doesn't flourish?
Well, I'm hesitant to draw a direct line, a causative line, between some of those comments and the extreme right. However, what I do see is an enabling environment, an environment which makes these views in some way acceptable and given a green light to say we should be concerned, and I'm putting this in quotation marks, about Muslims in our community. But the other side to that is the way in which some of these politicians are indulging in dog whistle politics, that they have seen the rise of populism, anti-immigration feelings, and Muslim communities being present in our quote-unquote communities. And the idea that somehow you should appeal to those community politics of an extreme sort is really very unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. I looked at hate speech online last year. I chaired a government process looking at this. And it frankly appalled me how much Islamophobic speech, the ubiquitous nature of this, the way in which it is casualized and normalized, I think that is really a major concern. And we do need to take more notice.
You say that you wouldn't draw a straight line, but do you think the comments of our political leaders, and I'm talking across the Tasman here in Australia as well, on issues like immigration, have perhaps inadvertently fueled white supremacists?
Yes, they have. And I think that's why I hesitated before, because I think that politicians say a lot of things and it's not always clear to them or to us what influence they might have. But I think that politicians do need to be very, very careful about feeding an anti-immigration rhetoric.
The New Zealand Prime Minister has ordered an inquiry into why the Christchurch shooter was not on a security watch list. Do you think there were significant failings there?
There are failings. I am aware that the security and intelligence agencies were watching these extremist groups, so I wouldn't want to say that there was a complete failure, but I think they were very focused on Muslim terrorism, and I wonder how much time and resource and effort went into looking at the extreme right.
The Islamic Women's Council of New Zealand says it did warn security and intelligence service heads about this 3 years ago. Is white supremacist violence harder to prevent than religious extremism, or is it that the authorities are focused elsewhere?
I think it's primarily the latter rather than the former. I was part of those meetings, by the way, between government and the leaders of the Muslim community. I thought the Muslim community leaders were very clear, and those Muslim leaders have said that they were not assured by the reactions at the time, and of course they've been proven right.
New Zealand has a strong tradition of freedom of speech. Do you see last week's shootings changing that?
Yes, and it has to. So we had a Canadian activist who went to Australia as well, very clearly Islamophobic in my view. I'm very much in favour of free speech, but hate speech is a different matter. And we need to be very clear about what constitutes hate speech. I would like us to have a much more vigorous, a much more extensive regime of dealing with hate speech.
Professor Spoonley, you were due to give an address at New Zealand's National Library today on your research into hate speech, but the library cancelled at the last minute, citing security concerns. What was your reaction when they told you that?
That's an irony, isn't it? I'm very, very disappointed. I can understand the National Library. I'm not being critical of them, but the library thought it was too risky. And I mean, if that's the environment that we're going to encounter in New Zealand, then free speech has really impacted, isn't it?
Professor Spoonley, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
And that's Professor Paul Spoonley from Massey University in Wellington, a specialist in ultranationalist politics.